Good morning, everybody. So I have a few just housekeeping things before we jump in. So there are two things. One, there are crayons and paper for kids to draw. And as you said, there's you can draw a picture of hopefully something that I'm saying that's relevant, and there will be prizes. You take them up to the Tiki Hut after we're done, and then we'll judge them, and then tomorrow there'll be a prize. The other thing is there's two handouts that we created. One is for to follow along in the lesson. If you don't have one of those, you can get them. I think they have them up in the Tiki Hut, but unfortunately, they both have. I realize I made everyone's cover the same, but it'll allow you to easily follow along. And then the second thing that we did is I created some things for kids that are a little older, 8 to 10, and they may be able to actually even share these with their parents. So there are puzzles that are relevant. Some are more difficult than others. Is Cindy here? So I was going over this with Cindy, and she said, wow, they're difficult. So, but it's intended for the kids to be challenged a little bit, as well as maybe ask you, because there's some things in there. There's word search, and there's one in there that's really, really tough. But that's okay. So if you need clues, you can come and ask me about that. So, I said last night, let's see if anyone listened. My name is Ogoric, our last name. Anyone remember what it means?
Pickle.
Pickle. So you can call me?
Mr. Pickle.
Mr. Pickle. All right. Well, I said last night that we have actually been coming since 1996. That was our first year. When our daughter was 4 years old, she's 29. I think she's here somewhere in the back standing with our grandson and our granddaughter. The second year that we came, Todd and Robin came with us. We invited them. We invited them simply because they were neighbors that we had a burden for, and they came, and obviously God unfolded their life in a way that no one could ever imagine. But the second year that they came with us, because the first year was so impactful, I had the opportunity to speak at family camp, and Robin, Todd's wife, came up to me and said, I really like it when you speak. And so as a speaker, you sometimes like to hear that. And so I was saying, was it the message? Was it something in particular? She goes, no. She goes, you shower every day this week. Because apparently she had noticed that previous times at Fort, maybe I used lake baths instead of actually the moonbeam or something to shower in. So that's kind of how our relationship started with her. The other thing is when Todd called and said, hey, we've got this week on Family Camp 7. Would you be willing to come? And I said, yes. And he said, we'll be speaking down at the beach. I said, I've got one request for the program team. Could you make it so that you put just blocks and a piece of plywood just about an inch under the water so that I could walk off the pier onto the beach? Yeah. Oh, it's still there? Yeah. Oh, they didn't tell me it was there. So anyway, he thought that would be a great way to get started. But apparently they didn't tell me it was done. So we're just very, very grateful. My wife and I were just talking how quickly time has moved for us. We remember being here with our kids for the first time, and now we're here with our grandkids. We're really grateful for you all to be here. I mean, this is such an amazing blessing with so many people locked down and so many things to be able to be in this setting. So I said last night we're going to talk about the festivals of Israel, which might not be something that you've maybe considered. One of the challenges always when you have five messages is today I'm really going to set a framework, and I'm going to basically put the framing of the house together, and then over the next 4 days we'll start to fill in some of the pieces. So if you can be patient with me, today is really setting the framework, and then you'll see how these things build. Over the years, I've had a mixture of responsibilities. My life has always been a blend of working in the marketplace and doing ministry. And it's been that way really my whole life. And so most recently, I've been a global marketing director. And so I've had people all over the country that I've been responsible for. And so one of the things that you learn once you take on a new company or a new culture is every culture has one thing in common. They all have a holiday calendar. And so what I learned is I had to schedule calls around holidays, because holidays were something that most people have in different countries. So what I did is I put in your handout, if you have it, I'm going to give you 4 days, and I'm going to see if you can guess the country and the month it takes place in. Okay, so the first one is Canada Day. Anyone know what country that's in?
Canada.
Okay. Well, actually, it happens in some other countries. Anyone else know where it happens? Great Britain? It does. In Australia, right? So, and anyone know when it is? That one's a very... It's December 26th. It's the day after, okay? All right, so that's the first one. Anyone else have their... you have your handout? What's the next one I have in there? Synalog. Anyone know what country that's in and what month it takes place in? Anybody? Norway. Norway's a guess. No, lot further south than that. Vietnam. Jamaica. No. South Africa. No. The Philippines. Tom guessed the Philippines. How did you know that, Tom? Have you been? It was a guess. Yeah, okay. Well, all right. So you're excluded from guessing. There's no prizes for Tom. All right? Synalog is in the Philippines. It takes place in January. I found that out the hard way because I showed up one day, couldn't find a hotel, and the streets were packed. And it celebrates, actually, Christianity coming to the Philippines when Magellan landed there. Okay? All right? The next one. Not.
UK.
Yep, that's right. Okay, all right. What's the next one? Oh, the month. Yeah, Boxing Day is always December, right? Yep. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm sorry. You know what? I messed up. I'm sorry. Who said July 1? You did. You were right. You know what? Give her a prize. Take Tom's prize and give it to her. Canada Day is July 1. Yes. I had him confused in my, because I didn't have my handout in front of me. All right. Last one is Diwali.
India.
Anyone know when it takes place? Takes place in November. November. So all those days I had to actually work around because I would schedule meetings and then I'd find out no one was available, right? And so those are things that were important. Now, what's interesting, and you may not have considered this before, but God gave the nation Israel a calendar as well, a calendar of holidays that were very, very important. And they were appointed times that were very, very significant in their life. And so what I want you to do is turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23. Now, oftentimes when we look at these kinds of pieces of scripture, I always tell people this is probably the clean part of your Bible, right? This is probably something that you might just not look at and blow through pretty quickly. And actually, we're not going to read all this today just because of time. But what I would encourage you is over time to read it, to go through and read that that section because it lays out in pretty good detail. But in your handout, what you will see is I gave you a schedule that shows that there are 8 different holidays that are talked about there. One of them is a weekly holiday, which is the Sabbath, and then there are 7 annual festivals, and you'll see those listed there as well too. Now, this chart will be very helpful because we'll reference back to it. And in the first festival, that's the annual festival, is the Passover, which we're going to spend time with tomorrow. And that was actually the start, that was the new year for the nation Israel. That was the new year for them. So that was their January 1st, and there's some significance to that. But what I want to do this morning is just take a moment and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16, because there are 3 particular festivals that are pulled out of this list in Leviticus that we're going to talk about. So Deuteronomy chapter 16. And one of the things that I always like to do in a setting like this is, even though I'm the one mic'd, I don't want to be the only one reading. So if anyone is so brave as to stand up, and I'll give you the section we're going to read. We're going to read Deuteronomy 16. We're going to read just verses 16 and 17. So if anyone would be willing to stand up and just read that. Go ahead. You want to stand from there and just read that if you can follow along? All right, thank you. So in this list that's given in Leviticus chapter 23 in Deuteronomy, God pulls out these three particular festivals to highlight for the nation Israel. If you read before the verses we just read, you'll see a further description and instructions for each of these festivals. But the question you have to ask is, why these festivals? Well, each of them required a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Each of them required the nation Israel to leave their home and move from where they're at to go to Jerusalem, to the place at the time where God dwelt. The other thing that's important to recognize here is this instruction, which is in verse 16. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord in the place he chooses. Now, you have to remember, when this was given to the nation Israel, this was given to them before they were still a people in motion. They were not settled anywhere. So that's why he said, there's a place I'm going to tell you where I'm going to be and where I'm going to dwell, and that's where you need to go to. But what is really important here is that first statement, because while it does single out males in this description, this isn't just for men, but it's describing a particular act that conveyed a particular significance. So what he was saying here is the equivalent in our day of what we would see in a military parade. The men who were representing all the families and all the nation Israel, but you'll see the festivals involved all the people, were to come before God and to declare their loyalty and recognize his authority. Declare their loyalty and recognize their authority. And so one of the reasons why this was so important is because he wanted them to continually renew that he was their Lord and their king. And why that's significant is because there was no other people in the world that did that. Now, today, it's not just the nation Israel, but it's all who are called by his name. In the Old Testament, it was the Israelites who were called out to be God's people. But in the New Testament, it's his church. It's his believers. And so this reminder of coming before God and declaring continually his authority and our loyalty to him is very, very important. And if you think about it, we have to make that choice on a daily basis. Now, from time to time, you'll see in certain nations, particularly like in Russia or North Korea, you'll see these military parades where all the soldiers parade before the president or prime minister or whoever, and they do it in other countries as well, too. That's exactly what's happening here. When they're doing that, they're saying, not only are we putting our military might on display, but we're declaring our loyalty and authority to you. One of the things I have the opportunity to do often is speak to young people, high school and college kids. And one of the things I say to them over and over and over again, because I see this missing in our culture today, is that becoming a Christian isn't just a change in activity, but it's a change of authority. What you're saying is, I'm no longer in charge of my life, but now I'm submitting myself to the authority of your life. We sing often King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but do we really understand what that means in our lives? For the nation Israel, these three festivals were a declaration in front of all nations, in front of all people, where their authority lied, where their loyalty lied. And think about this. They're having to move. They're having to migrate. So if you're on the road and you see this massive group of people, people would say, what are you doing? Where are you going? It would give them an opportunity to say, we're going to Jerusalem because God has commanded it, and we are loyal to him, and we recognize him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know about you, but I had more opportunity, I think, this time to talk about coming to Fort Wilderness than I've ever had before, and I've come a lot. Because over the past few weeks, I was telling people we're going to this place, I'm going to be out of the office for a week, and they would say, where are you going? And I'd give them the opportunity, because they were amazed that Fort could pull this off, that this is a place that we could come and be safe and be with our kids and our grandkids. And so, if you think about that, you migrated here. Well, the nation Israel had to do this three times a year, but it wasn't just for the sake of migration. It's for the sake of making a declaration about who was their king and whose authority they were under. So that's an important reason why these festivals were singled out. But now you may be wondering, are we really going to spend 5 days on history? Because for some of you, that may seem like that isn't going to be that exciting. And what does history have to do with me? Now, certainly history is going to play a part and what we're going to consider, because it's important here, because we're reading about a particular time. But it's a small part of why I think this study merits our time this week, and here's why. If you want to know what God's plan is for us as individuals and the church, you can actually see it through these festivals. That's my promise to you today, is that by the time we're done at the end of this week, you will see that God has laid out on the calendar a picture of what his plan is for us as individuals and his plan for the church and for the world through these festivals. He created a calendar that tells a story. And it's oftentimes a story that we don't pay attention to, but it's really important. Now, there's another reason why I think this is worth our consideration. That's because Jesus and his disciples and his family made it a priority to participate and keep these festivals. So as you understand the festivals more clearly, it will give you a richer understanding of the Gospels, the New Testament, and what Jesus said, but not only what he said, but when he said it. Because we're going to see in just a moment, the gospel writers and the writers of the letters oftentimes referred back to these festivals. And so as we understand what they were referring back to, it helps us understand even more the significance and how powerful and provocative what Jesus was saying. You see, oftentimes I think a lot of people have a wrong understanding or relationship between the Old Testament and New Testament. We often see them as simply two separate movies. There was a movie, and it's over, and now there's another movie. But actually, they are one big integrated stories. They're one big story, just in two different versions. Now, my wife and I have become very fond of BBC dramas. Anyone ever see Poldark? Okay. All right. We have a fan here, Poldark, all right? How about Beecham House? That's a new one. That's worth watching. How about Grantchester? Right? Okay. Now, if you start watching those shows in the second or third season, you actually can kind of pick up the story and pick up the main characters. But you don't have a full, rich understanding of everything that's going on if you don't go back to episode one. And my wife is really guilty of this. I'm going to call her out on this. It's because we'll find one either recommended and we'll start watching it, and we might only have the second season or whatever. So then we got to go back all the way. We got to find the first season, episode one, and start watching it so that you can fill that out. So the other thing is, I'm going to give a shout out here. I think they're both gone. There are two people that I've noticed there's an Office theme going on here. There was someone last night that had a Dunder Mifflin t-shirt on. And this morning, she must be gone too. I was walking by a young girl, and it caught me off guard. It had Schrute Bed and Breakfast, right? Now, if you've never watched The Office, none of that means anything to you. But if you watch The Office, it's like, that's really solid, right? So anyway, but you understand when we watch a show, if we don't understand the full story from episode one, we can pick it up, but we don't have a full appreciation. And so that's what we want to do tonight, or over these next few days, is understand. Now, turn with me real quick, John chapter 6, verse 4. And this might be something that you would just normally blow by. Sorry, my pages are blowing in the wind here, but I'll get to it. So I'm going to actually read in, I'm going to start in verse 1, but I want you to particularly look at verse 6. So after these things, this is John writing, after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountains, and there he sat with his disciple. And then verse 4, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. And we're not going to have time this morning to read the rest of this. But when you realize the miracles that Jesus performed around the Passover, you realize that they weren't just random things. Because he goes on and he talks about being the bread of life, right? This is where he multiplies and feeds people. Because the Passover was a meal. And so his miracles, when you understand that when he did this, was not just an accident, and that the gospel writer John included that detail for a specific reason, you go on to appreciate what he did and the significance it would have been to the Jewish people. Now, if you go on and look at John chapter 7, verse 2. Again, these are things that you could very easily just blow right by, right? So I'm going to start in verse 1. After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of the booths, was near. Now there's two things that are significant about that. We're going to actually look at both of these feasts and understand. But why was it that John thought it was so important to include these in? And if you go on and you read what happened, you'll understand even more what Jesus did. The other thing that's important to realize, if you look back at your schedule, the Passover took place in the spring, and the Feast of the Booths took place in the fall. So you might read this and think that these events happened one right after another, but actually on the Jewish calendar, these were months and months apart. So John is actually talking about two very different seasons of life and two different seasons on the calendar. And if you read what Jesus did, you'll realize he did something specific that would communicate something to the Jews at the time who were gathered together for the festivals. And the reason why all these people were there and why Jesus just wasn't randomly walking around is because of Deuteronomy chapter 16. All the Jews were called to be in Jerusalem. Now, in a couple days, we're going to look at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit came and the church was born and spread out. But that's the other festival where all the Jews needed to be in Jerusalem. And so you can read that and say, well, that was random. But if you think about it, a week earlier or a week later, all those people from all those nations would not have been in Jerusalem. And I just can't help believe that it's not an accident that God chose to make sure that certain things happened and Jesus performed certain miracles when people were gathered for a specific purpose. And the more we can understand what those purposes are, the more we can appreciate what he did when he did it and what it means for you and I. It's so important that we have this framework because it will give you a lens on your gospel reading and your New Testament reading in a way that you've never had before. And my prayer is that you will have a perspective that helps you see the great value in doing so. Now, the last couple things I'll say here is that there is much more than event planning going on here. It's very easy just to blow right through this stuff and say, okay, he's just giving us some instructions on how to have a party. But actually, one commentator said it very succinctly, and I have always appreciated this. He said, the most important feature is that in every case, the detail of the rituals plays second fiddle to this theological agenda. There is a lot going on here. And as we have time over the week of Fort Wilderness and family camp, we're going to see all that God is doing. There's one other thing, and that is, I think if we look at these appointed times together, it will give us an appreciation even more for what God has done and what he is doing and what he will do in the future. And so when you think about this, we can remember what he did in the past. We can recognize what he's doing right now, and we can rejoice in what he's going to do in the future. So we can remember what he's done, which is important. One of the themes this year for Fort is to recall. And we're going to see we need to be a people who remember what God did. But we also need to recognize what he's doing right now in this moment. And then thirdly, we can rejoice in that he's not finished yet, and he's going to do something in the future. And my second promise to you is when we understand these festivals and we look at what God has done in the Old Testament and did in the New Testament, is doing now and is going to do in the futures, we'll see the full picture of the glory of what he's trying to accomplish. And he started out by simply giving them a holiday calendar. So as we go through the rest of this week, my hope is that you'll see it with different eyes. It will cause you to have a different perspective on the New Testament, But also, wherever you're at in your life, you'll remember what God has done. You'll recognize what he's doing now in your life. And then you will rejoice when you see what he's yet to accomplish, because he's not done working yet. And the last thing I'll say is, I just don't believe in accidents. I just don't. I've seen so much in my life that when I look back, God was ordering things. And I don't know why, but I don't think any of you are here by accident. So God has something for you this week. And it may come through this session. It may come through a conversation you have around a campfire. That's the thing I love about Fort. Tom Robertson introduced a phrase to me years ago that Fort is a thin place, that God seems close. And so what I hope and pray above what I'm sharing in these messages is that you will hear from God what word you need to hear, because I don't think you're here by accident. And Fort isn't a place of accident. It's a place that God ordained to allow people to know him and grow in him and become his people, so that we can stand before people when we leave here as people who recognize God's authority and that we recognize that we're loyal to him. Let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful this morning to be able to be together. We're thankful that you even held off the rain today, that you are the one who calmed the storm. And even though the weather forecaster said it was going to rain, you held off. I pray, Lord, that as we let this week unfold, that our ears would be open and our eyes would be open, and we would hear and see what you're doing in our life. We thank you for your provision for us and just for us to be able to be here. Thank you for the Fort staff and the protection you've given us and given them to be able to pull off family camp. We just thank you and we bless you for this day. Pray everyone will continue to be safe and that we would enjoy this time here. In your son's name, amen.